Com.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, they got robbed again. For those of you who hadn't heard this story, a CNN TV news crew was right in front of City Hall in San Francisco, California. They were doing an interview talking about the crime in San Francisco that has just gotten out of control, especially under the Soros-backed liberal prosecutors there. And they not only got robbed once, had their car broken in, two and their stuff stolen once. Twice. They got robbed twice in 1 week, and right in front of City Hall, right in front of their security detail, in a matter of just seconds. That's how bad the crime is getting in San Francisco. But of course, we know we got some crime problems right here in Montana, especially in some of our bigger towns as well. Looks like that's where Rick in Bozeman wants to start this morning. Rick, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, thank you. I escaped to Montana about a year and a half ago, and I appreciate all the freedom that I have up here, but it's slowly going away. But anyway, I lived in Napa County, the wine country, from 1960 on, and people would say, yeah, let's go to San Francisco, because it's cool there during the summer. And now, you know, nobody goes there unless they absolutely have to go. And I think Gavin Newsom, he's one of their best candidates for the Democrats, but I don't see how he could win anything because, you know, what you just said, nobody wants to go there and have their car broken into within a few seconds.
Yeah, and then your kids have to, you know, walk over drug needles and human feces in L.A. to get to school. So I was in Dillon, Montana a couple of weeks ago and spoke at a Lincoln Reagan dinner, and there's a bunch of people that have moved into Dillon that have fled Portland and Oregon and California. It sounds like much like you. And I was talking with a local guy who's an appliance repair guy, so he goes into a lot of the homes there, and he was telling me, he said, yeah, there's a lot of new people that have moved into Dillon, for example, and he said, and whenever I get to talking to people and I ask them where they're from, they always say, but I'm not one of those. I'm not one of those. and we all know what he's talking about, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So would you say you're not one of those, and how would you define one of those? How would you define one of those, Rick?
Well, no, I would say I'm not one of those. Because, you know, the price of gasoline is just through the roof, and they've got like about an 80% tax on all that stuff, and to get out of there was really good.
Yeah. No, that's interesting. Well, great to hear your perspective. Yeah, no, it's funny that you call and share that story about how you fled the San Francisco area. I had the exact same conversation with a couple on Saturday night. I was at the Montana Safari Club banquet. And there was a couple that had moved back to Montana. They're originally from Montana. And, you know, job, he said, you know, he said, hey, in the early 80s in Montana, you couldn't get a good paying job here in Montana. So I went to California for work. And yeah, he said back in the 80s, he said San Francisco was a great place to go. He said now, he says, well, they won't let you carry guns there. He says, but you better carry a gun there. I mean, wow, talk about summing up the problem of California in one sentence right there. He did it. Great to hear from you, Rick. Nicole in Laurel, thanks for the call. What's your thoughts?
Okay, so my favorite author kind of summed this up really well, that crimes start happening when you treat people as things, and that's Terry Pratchett.
Yeah. we've dehumanized people to a certain extent, right? That's one of the, disturbing elements in our culture.
Exactly. If you're willing to kill the baby in the womb, you have no respect for life, you know? So you'll go out and commit a murder because you don't care, you know?
Yeah, I think this dehumanization, and this dehumanization has kind of been on steroids in the last 3 years in particular, would you say?
Oh, yeah, definitely. People don't even take time for each other, and they don't even, you know, seem to give a what about anything.
Yeah. Yeah, because this crime problem, it's not just isolated to the larger cities. It's not just New York.
No, it's not just San Francisco. I hardly even come to Billings anymore because of the crime, but sometimes I just have to because of the doctor or certain stores, you know, and I'm just like, I don't want to be here.
Yeah.
You know, I moved to Billings when I was 9, but now I'm in Laurel, and I'm like, I'm really glad I don't live in Billings anymore.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Just over the weekend, in fact, I spoke with Billings Police Chief Rich St. John earlier this morning, and it was a crazy weekend this weekend. They had a 14-hour-plus standoff. Officer-involved shooting. A police officer was shot. Sounds like he's going to be okay. Still getting treatment at a local hospital. This is the second Montana police officer in 2 weeks. We had a Great Falls police officer shot earlier this month, and then we had Highway Patrol Trooper Lewis Johnson run over near Eureka last month, and so...
Yes.
Yeah, troubling signs.
Very.
All right. Well, Nicole, thanks for the call. I appreciate it. Yeah, I think there's something what you have to say there, that crime starts when we treat people as things and not as people. That's a great point. 294-0970, the number for you. Anything and everything you want to talk about, back right after this.
This is where Montana talks. You're listening to Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
I'm not one of those. How many of you have heard that as you've met people and talked to people? That's just kind of what we do in Montana. You know, everywhere you go, my wife's always laughing at me because everywhere you go, like, oh, hey, where are you from? Oh, yeah. Do you know somebody? My mom always gets really excited if she finds out somebody's from eastern Montana or Glasgow in particular. It's like, oh, where are you from? And then it's like, do you know this person? Do you know that person? That's just how we roll in Montana. We want to know where you're from. We'll get your whole life story in the first 3 minutes, right? So are you one of those? I'm not one of those. Any newcomers to Montana, we all know what they're saying, right? They're saying, hey, I got the heck out of San Francisco. I got the heck out of Seattle. I got the heck out of Portland. But I'm not one of them. I'm not one of those people that's yelling at you about, where's your mask? I'm not one of those people that's trying to shut down your kid's classroom or, you know, turn a little boy into a little girl before they even know whether they want to be a firefighter or a police officer when they grow up, right? I'm not one of those people that wants to come in and raise your taxes so I can sit on the couch and get a bunch of free stuff. We could go through a whole long list of, well, what does it mean to be one of those people, right? Rick in Kalispell sent us a message on the Montana Talks app. One of those. Are you a missionary or a refugee? It sounds like most of the post-COVID-19 newcomers to Montana are the refugees. They're here seeking refuge, seeking asylum from the crazy leftists in San Francisco and elsewhere. Pre-COVID-19, pre-2020, it definitely seemed like we had more of the missionary type folks, that these were the people that they were coming from Seattle. And they were bringing the mess with them. They wanted to turn Bozeman into a little mini version of Seattle or a mini San Francisco or a Los Angeles. And so they left, you know, Seattle and San Francisco, but they wanted to bring the mess with them and turn the place they came to into the place they left. It seems like most of the newcomers, you guys could tell me if you're, you know, hearing or seeing otherwise here, but it seems like most of the newcomers are the refugees. Let's see, got a message from Maria in Bozeman. You know, when it comes to the crime, here in Montana, especially in our bigger towns. I personally would say, hey, this is exactly why we need to pay our corrections employees more. And thankfully, Governor Greg Gianforte did just sign a bill that delivers a big pay raise to our Montana corrections officers. That'll help. They're putting more money into our prison system because as our population grows, so does our infrastructure need to grow, which includes prisons. You need to build more schools. You need to build more prisons as the population grows, right? But the big part of the problem we've got here in Montana is, A, there's a lot more people here now. B, we've still got these liberal judges that are putting these criminals right back out onto the streets. And they're turning some of these communities, like Billings, into the dumping grounds for the state's offenders. So that's a big part of the problem that we have here. Anyway, Maria in Bozeman says this. First of all, what did we think was going to happen when we started allowing our state to be torn apart by opportunists? And everybody said, oh, but we like the money. Well, when you start bringing in people who don't care about the land, don't care about the culture, and don't care about anything except what they can get, that also brings in people who are selling drugs, doing crimes, and all the rest of it. So anyway, that's what Maria had to say there. And then regarding President Trump, many of you have probably heard the news that broke over the weekend where President Trump said his legal team is now of the belief that this liberal prosecutor in New York is going to try to arrest him and try to place him in handcuffs, maybe as early as tomorrow. Anyway, Maria says this about Trump. Trump did more to put an end to sex trafficking than all the prior presidents combined. In the past 3 years, we've seen an 857% increase in sex trafficking in Montana alone. I went shopping yesterday and a Stouffer's lasagna is up to $13. A quart of milk was $5. I'll take Trump and his policies any day. Meanwhile, need we even talk about North Korea threatening nuclear weapons and Russia taking down our drones? If Trump is the nominee, I will vote for him. That was from Maria in Bozeman. Let's go to George in Billings on the phone lines. George, what's on your mind? George, are you there? Go ahead, George. Okay, George, I'm going to throw you back on hold. I have a producer, Travis, check in and make sure you're ready to chat. I know sometimes while you're waiting, you might have something else come up. Let's see. George is on two. Okay, I was on. All right, that was my mistake. I pulled up line one instead of line two. All right, George, are you there now? My apologies.
Yes, I am. Good morning, Aaron. Thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, thank you.
I thought it was really interesting, the lady from Laurel called about all the crime in Billings. But I live in Billings, but I have a business in Laurel here, and there's been 3 break-ins in a one-block area by my business here in Laurel just recently. I had a pickup stolen, one of my business pickups stolen. We've had a break-in in a big business right next door to us. So Laurel's not immune from all this crime either.
Well, yeah, that's right. And a lot of those crimes you just mentioned don't make the big headlines, right? It's not until somebody gets shot or there's a standoff that even sometimes a lot of these crimes will get attention.
That's right. One of the biggest unsolved crimes in the history of this county has happened in Laurel a number of years ago. It still hasn't been solved. So.
Yeah.
Laurel's not immune to it either.
And vehicle thefts continue to be a problem. And one thing we've heard from law enforcement is a lot of those vehicle thefts, a lot of people will steal the cars and then take them out to neighboring counties. So some of that theft is not coming. You know, some of those problems aren't coming from Yellowstone County itself. And much like the drug cartels are taking advantage of various jurisdictions, we know that the drug cartels in particular, which are, you know, the drug cartels and the fentanyl and our wide open southern border that's driving so much of this crime and a lot of the violence, not all of it, but driving it. Where are they particularly, taking advantage of people here in Montana on our reservations and in our reservation communities? They're suffering at even greater degrees under this wide open southern border. Now, NBC News is reporting that we've got basically what's the headline from NBC News? We have a border crisis on our northern border now as well. Well, what did they expect was going to happen?
That's right. Well, I'd say 90% of the crime or more is due to drugs right now.
That's what law enforcement consistently says. They point it all to drugs and fentanyl and our wide open southern border that's the source of it all.
That's right. Well, thank you, Aaron.
Hey, George, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you. 406-294-0970. Next up on line one, we've got Skip in Hamilton. All right, Skip, thanks for the call.
Hey, Aaron, thank you very much. And you brought up the Safari Club just a little while ago, and it made me think, well, maybe I'll call and ask Aaron about what I call a nebulous bill right now, or maybe it's a resolution, but it's 372. I think it's House Bill 372. But it has to do with hunting, trapping, and fishing, and there's lots of commercial time on television about it. An environmentalist named Peter Coyote is the guy that put the commercial on, and it seems like it's going to give a lot more traction to people who are trappers. And I wanted to find out if you knew anything about it. I even asked Greg Gianforte about it, but he couldn't describe exactly everything about the bill, but he said he was for it. I just wanted to understand what it was about, because a lot of people are sensitive to too much trapping, or giving any more traction to people that do trapping. And so if you knew about it, I thought...
I can go off of what we've discussed over, you know, a number of years, different callers over the years. I wonder if Trapper Mike would have great insight for us out of Missoula. He's always fun to hear from on topics like this. But yeah, Travis actually printed up the House Bill 372. And this is we should get Paul Fielder, representative out of Northwest Montana. We should get him on this show, because he's always got a number of these pro-hunting, wildlife-related bills. So yeah, this would basically it would amend the Montana Constitution to establish the rights of Montana citizens to hunt, fish, trap, and harvest wild fish and wildlife. Now, I think most Montanans know that we already have a constitutional right to fishing and hunting, right? And my argument is that trapping is hunting. Right? It's a different method of hunting, but we know that trapping in particular has been under attack, because it's just like the gun control debate. The radical left despises hunting. They despise production animal agriculture. That's why you'll see in places like Oregon and some of these other places, the left is trying to do away with production agriculture, or, you know, they want to ban the circus from coming to town. They want to ban a rodeo from taking place. They despise production agriculture. They despise hunting, the hunting. But they know that they can't ban it outright, so they want to take the incremental approach. So they want to target the trappers first, and then they'll come after the bow hunters next, and then they'll go after the big game hunters next, and on we go. And so I think that's why there are people that want to have trapping specifically spelled out and protected in the Constitution, even though some might argue that it already is protected under the current Constitution. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does, sir, but may I ask, this is going to be a constitutional amendment if it passes. There's going to be so many constitutional amendments. Not that that should be the reason to not pass it, but my God, our ballot's going to be so long. It's going to take 20 minutes to fill out a ballot, and the lines to fill out if you go and pull the curtain when you vote.
That's a good question. How many constitutional amendments could potentially be on the ballot based on the bills that have already passed in one chamber of the legislature thus far? We might have to bring that question up on our weekly legislative update later in the week. Skip, thanks for the call. Stand by, back after this.
This is Where Montana Talks Ag with Lane Nordland.
Well, this Tuesday, March 21st, the Montana Stock Growers Association will launch its first of a series of rollover auctions at livestock markets across the state to raise funds for its appeal of the Bureau of Land Management's decision, regarding the American Prairie Reserve's grazing allotments in Phillips County. Lewistown rancher and Montana Stock Growers board member Todd Olson is donating the 875-pound heifer that is sired by the Great Bull Justify. The replacement heifer will sell in the rollover auction starting at noon at Lewistown Livestock this Tuesday. Todd Olson said that the importance of these funds will be used to prevent a precedent from being set by the Bureau of Land Management's grazing decision in Phillips County.
It's going to be bigger than just north central Montana. This is going to end up being a western United States issue, and we want people to help us get this done right the first time so that precedent is in the rancher's favor. Anybody that's passionate about the protection of stewardship of Montana lands, heritage, and legacy, please consider supporting these auctions.
Again, the rollover auction to benefit the lawsuit against the Bureau of Land Management will be held this Tuesday, March 21st at noon at Lewistown Livestock Auction. You can also bid online at lewistownlivestock.com. Or if you would just like to make a donation to the Montana Stock Growers Association's legal fight, you can visit mtbeef.org or protectopenspaces.com. I'm Lee Nordlund.
Talking about the issues that matter to Montana. Statewide, this is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, thanks to Skip and Hamilton. I know we got cut off by the hard break there, but yeah, I was talking about a possible amendment to the Montana Constitution. And yeah, I mean, think about it. Almost every election, it seems, there's a chance for you to vote on an amendment to the Montana Constitution, right? In fact, in the last election, in the midterm, the 2022 midterm elections, we had an amendment to the Montana Constitution. Remember, it was the privacy one. It was a privacy measure, and I think it passed, 75-85% of the vote. The specific number doesn't matter. The point being that an overwhelming number of Montanans, an overwhelming majority of Montanans, just voted to amend the Montana Constitution. But by golly, if you listen to some of the rhetoric coming out of not just the radical left, but even the establishment folks like Mark Roscoe, they're having these rallies to defend the Montana Constitution. How dare they attack our Montana Constitution? Okay, guys, like, let's tone down the rhetoric a little bit. Almost every session, there's an amendment made to the Montana Constitution. But you guys are acting like, oh, well, now that the Republicans are in charge, if we amend the Constitution, it's the end of the world. It's time to, you know, call for arms. We're going to fight to the death. Some of you think I'm being facetious right now, but let me play the audio of former liberal Montana Supreme Court Justice James Nelson. Listen closely here.
Make no mistake, this challenge is and will continue to be a fight, indeed a fight to the death against the jihad focused on our third branch of government, a war perpetrated by the Supermajority Freedom Caucus, legislature, the governor, and the attorney general.
Oh, wow. A war, a call to arms here. What was the exact words that he used? I know we've got this story on our Montana Talks website here. A jihad. The only thing he left out was Durka, Durka, Durka in his little call to arms speech there at the Montana Capitol last week. I don't know if former Supreme Court Justice Jim Nelson was in Iraq and Afghanistan with the rest of us. I don't know. Looking at the picture here, he looks more like the old guy in the cartoon Up. I mean, when I'm looking at the video here, I'm just thinking, oh, where's the balloons and where's Russell and the little dog that can talk as I'm looking at this video. But yeah, this story even got national attention here from the Daily Caller. Former justice accuses Republican opponents of jihad for amendments against judicial activism. Unbelievable. And you know what's funny is Donald Trump can give a speech calling for supporters to peacefully protest and to peacefully rally. And they'll claim that he's urging people to commit violence. The same people that defended the BLM rioters, right, are saying that somebody calling for a peaceful protest is calling for violence. And yet, here's one of their own basically saying that this will be a fight to the death because people want to amend the Constitution in Montana, which has been amended many times. It was just amended last November. I mean, for Pete's sake, people. All right, let's go to Billy in Billings next up on the phone lines. What's going on, Billy?
Hey, good morning, Eric. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. Yeah, good to hear from you.
All right. Hey, brother. This is actually Captain Gordon. You and I have known each other for a few years, and I made a New Year's resolution not to discuss politics on Mondays. That's how I'm going from now on.
Oh, really? Okay. Well, good luck with that.
But I just want to give you a public shout-out. I actually attended that Safari Club International banquet on Saturday, and you did a great job, man. I really appreciated everything that you did there. And it was my first banquet that I went to for them, and I'm already getting on the list to buy a table for next year. It was an awesome event, and you did a great job.
Oh, hey, well, that's awesome.
Shout out there.
Well, you're too kind. Well, we had a great auctioneer. We had Adam Carls out of Sturgis, South Dakota.
Oh, he did great.
He's awesome. Fourth-generation cattle rancher out of Sturgis was there. And then we had the raffle girls. They always, you know, I mean, they're raffling guns off left and right, card games, you name it. And, of course, the Safari Club. You know, I know it was a little hard to hear when we first started off the event, but I made the point, you know, that a lot of people right now, because there's so many new people that have moved into Montana, they're wondering what are Montana values. And mm-hmm. I made the point that Montana values were all in that room Saturday night. I mean, Second Amendment rights, guns, hunting, fishing, you know, leaving something behind for the next generation. That's what, you know, the conservation efforts that are funded, the youth hunting programs that are funded by the Safari Club International locally, the Montana chapter and other chapters across the state, that's what they do. So to me, you know, you had ranchers, hunters, sportsmen in the room. That was Montana values all in one room right there if you needed a quick lesson.
Well, how about that that veterans organization that donated the sculpture, and it was purchased, then donated back, and then purchased again, and just, you know, generated a whole bunch of money for a veterans nonprofit organization. How about that?
Yeah, I think that was a Lorenzo Giglieri bronze. It was a bald eagle holding an American flag.
Yep,
bronze
yep,
statue.
Yep, that's
and,
it.
Yeah, and the gentleman who owns Kubota in Billings bought it for like $4,000 or something. He donated it back. And then somebody else spent another $3,000 plus, and all the proceeds go to Operation Second Chance. No, that was incredible. That was really cool.
Yeah, I was actually sitting at the table with the director for Operation Second Chance there. That was pretty awesome. I had never met him before. It was just a chance that I was sitting at that table. And when that went down, I tell you what, he had tears in his eyes. It was pretty awesome. You can tell when people have a heart to help veterans, and that gentleman definitely does. I mean, obviously, he's a veteran himself, but that was a pretty awesome experience. I took my wife, which I wasn't sure how that was going to play out, but she had a great time, and actually, she was the one that encouraged me to go ahead and buy a whole table for next year.
Well, that's awesome. Well, she's going to have more guns than you anyway, so that's good that she was in the room. All right.
She might already. I don't know. I mean, she's from the High Line, so you got to watch those Montana guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We're out on the High Line, can you say? I know we're on the public airwaves right now.
Yeah, I know. She hates for me to share this, but she's a sugar beater.
Oh, okay. She's from Chinook. All right. Very good. Why doesn't she want to share that? That's a source of pride right there. All right. Well, Billy, great to hear from you. Thanks so much for calling in. Thanks for your service. Great to see you there at the SCI banquet as well. Let's see. Paul in Bozeman next up on the phone lines. I know he'll have some good information on this trapping initiative here.
Yeah, Aaron, thanks for having me on. Thanks for your service. Appreciate it. Hey, a little bit about that HB 372. They want to make it a trapping initiative, but it's really not. It protects our right to hunt, fish, and trap, and it protects our ways that we do it. you've probably noticed that over the years, all these ballot initiatives that have come forward to take away trapping, especially this right we would have now would protect us from those ballot initiatives. And don't think it's just about trapping. They can come after our spring bear hunts, our mountain lion hunting with dogs. I mean, they've done it in other states, and quite frankly, they've voiced their opinion that that's what they're going to do.
No, that's a great point. Yeah, this isn't just about trapping. This is about hunting and fishing and protecting those rights and the various methods which Montana hunters have used for a long time in order to do such. Stand by, Paul. We got a hard break I got to hit right now, and we'll come back to you here. This is our shortest break of the hour, so we'll get back to you right after this.
He is not squishy, and he is definitely not a journalist. He is Dan Bongino, and you can hear him each weekday 10 to 1 on News Talk 103.3 and AM 970.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Yeah, Paul in Bozeman, one of our great sportsmen in the Gallatin Valley area. So always great to get your insight, Paul. So, this was House Bill 372. I think we had Skip and Hamilton call in and ask about it earlier, a bill by Representative Paul Fielder. So it sounds like you're saying, hey, this is a good bill to support.
Well, I think every hunterman and fisherman and trapper in the state should be supporting this if you want to keep our way of life. And currently, we have a privilege to it's in the Constitution, but it's not a right to hunt and fish. And everybody's making it. The green decoy groups are, of course, they're trap free, footloose. Those groups out there, the green decoy groups. They're opposing this because they want to still continue to bring ballot initiatives against our way of life. And so, Montana Sportsman's Alliance came out and testified, said that, you know, it's a privilege and not a right to, hunt, fish, and trap. So there's a lot of these green decoy groups out there that are opposing it just because they want to continue to, try to use ballot initiatives, and that's what it'll do. It'll save our right to hunt fish in the future.
Yeah. Yeah, I forget who I was talking with over the weekend. We were talking about these green decoy groups and how they will try to divide the sportsman community. And that's why they're basically Democrat Party front groups and, you know, radical left-wing groups. But they can't call themselves environmentalists anymore, so they have to call themselves sportsmen now. So there's all these phony backcountry hunters and anglers types groups, and their sole purpose is to divide the sportsman crowd. They want to divide because they know that the Democrat Party has lost sportsmen and women over guns and gun control issues. So they think that they can divide you by basically creating these phony green decoy groups.
Well, yeah, and they every time one of these groups gets exposed, and they just start another one. They get a new group out that are made up of the same people, and they're funded by people like Soros and Weiss and those kind of guys, and they're funded. And they got millions of dollars to fight these issues. So it's hard for us to raise enough money to really come out against them. But I think this ballot initiative, there's backing from SCI for one. You know, there's NRA. Rocky Mountain Health Foundation. These groups are all backing this. MOGA is too. All of them are supporting this ballot initiative.
Yeah.
Let's get it passed through and let the people decide.
That's right.
It's pretty easy.
Yeah, that's right. And amending the state constitution is not that big of a deal. We just did it again this past November, but by golly, some of these radical left-wing judges that are opposed to things like trapping, that want to, you know, that are backing radical outfits like the APR and others, they want to fight to the death to prevent you from being able to have this opportunity. Paul, thanks for the call. Great to hear from you as always. Thanks for the insight. 406-294-0970 is the number for you. Next up, let's go to Jeff in Harrison listening to KXTL. Jeff, I hope you're still there. Thanks for waiting.
Yes, good day to you. Thank you for your service and your faith in our Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, you're too kind. Thank you. Thank you so much. There's so many folks who've served all across the state. So over 100,000 of us. So it's we're in great presence here.
Yes, I'm awful proud to be a Montanan. I'll tell you that. Hey, I was calling about the time change deal. I'm still. I don't know what's going on with that, if they're going to change the time back or leave it alone. But after hearing all this, the last gentleman, and bringing the awareness of all these little groups, they're actually environmental Nazis. It's all tied in to the climate change deal, all of that stuff. And
well, yeah, you take all these anti-trapping people and these radical environmental groups and the American Prairie Reserve and the liberal prosecutors and who's backing them. If you follow the money, they're all connected. They all connect together.
Yes, and as he said, when one group gets caught or whatever, they just start up a small group. And the best information that I know of for all this, for all these issues of the West, is Range Magazine.
That's right.
You know, it really is. So all you folks out there that really do want to get educated on what's going on and trying to keep up, because you can't really, there's so many abbreviated little Nazi groups that you can't even keep up with them all.
Yeah, I call them AstroTurf. They're fake. They look like grassroots group, but they're really, they're phony. They're these AstroTurf groups with a radical left-wing agenda. Thanks for the call, Jeff, and you're exactly right about Range Magazine. Incredible publication, standing up for folks here in the Rocky Mountain West in particular. That reminds me, what you had to say about these radical Green New Deal activists. This is a great news story. I don't know if you heard about this out of Europe. The BBC had this report. You know how these radical Green New Deal activists in Europe are going after the farmers and going after the ranchers and shutting down major dairy producers? And the farmers have been driving their tractors through the streets in protest. The Farmers' Protest Party wins a shock Dutch vote victory. The Farmers' Party has stunned Dutch politics and is set to be the biggest party in the upper house of parliament after provincial elections. So nobody thought they could do it. That shows you how Europe is revolting against this radical Green New Deal effort.